Turn in God's Word to Ephesians chapter 2. As we read this passage of Scripture, I would ask that you would ask those questions that I have there in the back of your bulletin. Where do you find your identity? And certainly this passage in the bigger picture, it has that of our unity that's in Christ Jesus. We belong to Him. And as you would come to this passage, and as I read it, I would ask that you would seek to, in your own mind, answer those questions. Where do you find that your identity? Is it in your nationality? Is it in your work? Is it in your family? It is in that sports team that you're part of, or somehow or another in your political position, your right-wing position, your left-wing position, your religious tradition. Where do you find your true identity? Some find it in our day, certainly in Facebook and the appearance of things. A gang, a tribe. Where is your identity? Let us hear the Word of God. Beginning with reading with verse 19 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God, with God's people, and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Let's bow and ask for God's blessing upon His Word this morning. Father, we do need that working of Your Holy Spirit. We pray that You would speak to all our hearts, speak to my heart afresh as we would have these truths written afresh upon our minds, that they would sink down into our emotions and our hearts, our affections, that we really do belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask now for that blessing of Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you remember how we have gone through these words of the Apostle Paul in this great letter of his that's so concise and yet so beautiful in its way of describing things, it talks to us about what some of the early Christians called the third race. There's no longer Jews, there's no longer Gentiles as two separate entities, but rather in Christ there's a third race, a new people, a new humanity. And in Christ there is this amazing thing that takes place. You know, Jesus spoke of what would be, you're doing greater miracles than these that He had done. And these greater miracles have to do with those who are outcasts become insiders. Those who are what we might call aliens become heirs. Those who have been, in one sense, of the very lowest, the untouchables, they become those who are first class. This is the greater miracles that God promised to do in Christ. So that when we come to this passage, we really have something of an amazing thing that He makes those who are misfits to fit in. Those who seem to be out of joint to be part of the citizens with God's people. To be, yes, family, the household of faith. And yes, as He finally will present in such a powerful way, this vision of being living stones in His temple, the final temple, Jesus Christ. So as we look at this passage that's before us, I couldn't help but think as we were singing that Psalm 23 version that we enjoy so much, how beautiful it is to sing together It's been something that's been part of a Cornerstone for many years, that last stanza, the sure provisions of my God attend me all my days. Notice how here is the longing for belonging. Oh, may your house be my abode, and all my work be praise. There would I find a settled rest, while others go and come, no more a stranger nor a guest, but only a child at home. That's what we were created for, in one sense, to be at home with our God in whose image we have been made. So there is this wonderful sense in which our passage tells us about our belonging to Him, and that we have that home. And I believe our passage has that in a progressive way, first starting with our citizenship. Notice the passage, it says in verse 19, no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, belonging to what I would term God's country. Now, we do enjoy and love our nation. We sing once in a while these words, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. There's actually 13 stanzas of this. We don't sing those 13 very often. But there's something that we have as Americans. We love our land, our country. I asked Nancy just the other day, actually I asked her kind of a wrong question. I asked her, do you remember where you were on July the 4th, 1776? And she said, what? And I said, whoa, I mean 1976. And she said she didn't remember the 1776 nor the 1976. But we were actually in Colombia. I was in a place called San Gil. Nancy was in Curití just trying to get dinner for that night with a lot of people. And we'd gone into San Gil to help someone. And we were getting some gas at the only station, gas station, for miles and miles and miles. And as I was filling it up, I noticed these fireworks going off. Whole sky full of them. And I asked Gratiniano Corso, what in the world is that? And he says, that's celebrating 200 years for Los Estados Unidos. And I remember it was a very tearful moment being away from my country. And, suddenly here they were celebrating 200 years of the United States of America. There was something very special to that moment of loving my country and to be there almost watching with tears and seeing the celebration of a great, great nation, and to be a citizen of that land, to have a passport from America. What an amazing privilege. And yet, when we really look at this passage, there's something so much greater, that we are citizens of an eternal kingdom, fellow citizens with God's people. There's something here that's so very special to think of this. And really, it all starts back with Abraham, the promise God gave to him that of his seed there would be, yes, of all the nations, blessing. There would be this great nation that would be brought together in the seed of Abraham. A turning point, we could almost say, in history. Note with me, one of the distinctions of being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is we are a distinct people. I remember the first time I was ever in a city that actually had a wall around it. I spent about 3 months once in Berwick-upon-Tweed on the coast there of England, and they actually had a wall that went around that city, and you could walk around that city in about a half hour. It had a wall that went all the way around it. The people of Berwick, they were those who belonged inside that wall. They were distinct people from the rest of these people. Now, we ask the question, what makes us as Christians distinct? Last week, we talked about how if we were all green people, it isn't really the distinction that will make us one. If we're, as we go down through all those, if we're white, black, red, yellow, whatever the color may be, that's not really what brings us together as a distinct people. All those distinctions of this world, in one sense, are done away with. The barriers are broken down. It's how we live and what we love and what fires our hearts. It's inside of us that we are one with the people of God. We're part of a new kingdom. Colossians, Paul, in the very beginning of his letter, he says that we have been those who are delivered out of the dominion of darkness into that very kingdom of light. There's been a transformation that's taken place, not because of our outward circumstances, not because of our nationality, but because of God's great work. We are brought together and are a distinct people. We belong together as one with the people of God. And so that there is a kingdom of His dear Son. And in that distinction, we have a different allegiance. There really is but one King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has our allegiance. There's great privileges as being citizens of this great kingdom. And certainly there are privileges of having a U.S. passport. There are privileges of having these things. But I would say to you that Jesus is the King of Kings. Hallelujah! He is the one to whom we serve under Him and live under Him and enjoy His kingship. We have a great and wonderful capital. You know, we can name the great cities, maybe the world, Toronto, or we would name New York City or Chicago or those cities that might be far away as London or Paris or Rome or Mexico, 25 million people. But we have that city that's eternal, the New Jerusalem, God's dwelling place, where Jesus will reign forever. We have a joint citizenship with the people of God all the way back through the Old Testament, but also with the people of God today, one together as the people of God. The book of Hebrews talks of how we have come to the New Jerusalem. I belong to Jesus. That is a great refrain that needs to be written upon our minds. I belong to Jesus. Can you say that within your very heart of hearts? I belong to Jesus. That's that wonderful, wonderful citizenship. He is my King. I owe Him allegiance. And He is the one that will protect and care for me. Citizenship in His kingdom. But there's a second portrait that we're given. We're given this portrait in a wonderful way of citizenship. But in a more intimate way, we have family. Now, maybe as you look at this passage, belonging to God's family, 2:19, Ephesians, it says that we are members of God's household. It's something more than citizenship. Citizens can be from individual places and entities in the sense of almost being separate from others. But when something is family, it's not just external, but there's an internal element to it. There's something intimate of being family members of the household of faith. There's a real contrast here from that which is external to that which is internal. Belonging in family. There's family privileges. Now, how do we get to be members of the family? It's what we call sovereign grace. It's not just that we've been forgiven of our sins and saved from God's wrath, but we are actually brought into this wonderful relationship of family. We can say, Abba, Father. I know sometimes people have translated that, Daddy, and we say, oh, that sounds a little too familiar, but that's almost in a sense exactly what it is saying. There is that special personal relationship in family. Abba, Father. The Aramaic, Hebrew background to that of being in a personal way that there's a trust and intimacy. We become children of God. Abba, Father. As Paul writes in Romans 8, we can now call Him Father, in that living, intimate sense. But there's one other thing that's so amazing here. I have a brother. Now, being raised by my granddad, and an only child, I can still remember inventing a brother because I really wanted to have someone to play with. And so as I invented a fellow, I called him Guy, and the two of us actually played together and didn't have any problems. We got along real well. He always wanted to play what I wanted to play and do what I wanted to do. We did real well together. And then, strangely, I think I must have been pretty near 60 years old. I found out I had a half-brother, didn't even know it existed. And, you know, it was wonderful. He's a wonderful guy, speaks good Spanish, was an editor for a newspaper, has been a great help in many ways. His name was also Jim. Wow, what strange things in the world we live in. But you know what? We long for a brother. We have one who is our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one who is, yes, called, not ashamed to call us brothers. There is in that wonderful sense of His, yes, calling us His own. We belong in His family, brothers. It will, in a wonderful way, thrill our hearts to know that we have one who cares for us, who is our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we go through these words, these passages of Scripture, and to realize that yes, citizenship in His eternal kingdom, in His everlasting country, we also have that privilege of being in the family of God. But there's a third portrait that's given to us. Notice, beginning there with verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Now, sometimes we think, we listen to people and their great desire is, oh, that they could just build a new temple in Jerusalem. If somehow or another they think of, if we could see the Dome of the Rock bombed away and that therefore they could build another temple there, a Jewish temple, offer sacrifices again. And of course, contrary really to what we have in Scripture, there's been one sacrifice forever. We don't need a temple sacrifice place. Jesus Christ is that final sacrifice for our sins, and that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we become, yes, new citizens, members of the family by His blood. And yes, there is something of a final temple in Jesus Christ, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Himself, that chief cornerstone. He's the one that everything is connected to. So when we come to this, we're not thinking of another temple being built here in Mesa. We're thinking of something that is alive, that's living, that's being built. It's in process. And I do think there's something fascinating here as you read the passage. Notice how he starts with citizens. The Apostle Paul then moves to something more intimate, the family. There's progress in these portraits. And then, yes, the Holy Temple. How is that progress? And I think there's something here in the very mind of the Apostle Paul. Yes, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God directed him in writing this letter. But it also uses his vocabulary, his thinking, his mind as he writes this letter. And what we have here is this whole building that's being spoken of. It speaks of it as being something that is a merger of all the parts. The temple is fitted together with living stones as it's being built upon the foundation of the Holy Scriptures. Do you see? There is progress, fitly framed together all of these living stones. They are put in place by the master builder. We are part of the temple of God. It's God's dwelling place. We, the temple, he dwells in the temple. We are the very holy temple of God's very presence. We are those who are, as Peter speaks of us, as living stones, alive. So often we find even religion and churches and even Christian churches kind of manipulating people instead of realizing that they must be alive to function in the holy temple. They must have real life spiritually. It's interesting. Just recently I was reading of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who really in many ways is the grandfather of what we might call the revival in our day of expository preaching. This Welshman that preached in Westminster Chapel for some 38 years and had such an impact on the English Reformation that is taking place in our time, English-speaking world. The doctor made statements like this: I have never asked anyone to join the church. I won't be asking anyone to join the church. I haven't asked anyone to do that. They must be living stones. They must be alive. It's not something that people manipulate and they grow great churches, but there must be real spiritual life in these stones, because there is where the very dwelling place of God is. And they must be alive and active and involved and part of the holy temple that is very real. It's not a thing of pleading with them and somehow manipulating people. No, they're alive and they realize the wonderful work of God in their heart. Stones that are without life can't be part of that living, holy temple. I ask you this morning that question: who are you? What is your identity? Is it an identity that you find really in sports, or maybe you think of those in the inner cities, they find their identity in a gang, and you have a family, so you can kind of find your identity somehow or another in how wonderful your family may be. But you know, whether it's in politics or the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the United States of America or your heritage, whatever it may be, all those things pass away. What is your life? It is but a vapor. There's some pretty big vapors out there at times, and some are pretty small, but they're still all vapors. They disappear. They pass away. It's only an identity in Jesus Christ that will last forever. To be a citizen in his kingdom, to be a member of his family, to be part of the holy temple, living stones. Jesus Christ is my identity. And when I forget that, something terrible happens. When you forget that as a Christian, something happens in the way you think and live. And if you are without Christ, everything really will be broken. There won't be real reason to live, because all these other identities are but vapor, but a mist that just pass away. Tim Keller, in the last message of the recent Gospel Coalition, had these words in one sentence. He said, "When I forget the gospel, I become dependent on the smiles and evaluation of others." And I need to hear that. You need to hear that. We all need to have that. When we forget Jesus Christ, to whom we belong, our identity in Him, then it all falls apart. We're dependent upon the smiles and evaluation of all those around us constantly. And sooner or later, it goes crash. I fall apart altogether. I'm a misfit, dependent upon everything around me, if I forget I belong to Jesus. Can you say from the heart of hearts, "I belong to Jesus"? There is my citizenship. There is my family. There I belong to His holy temple. I'm a living stone connected to the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is my identity. There is something much, much more than a mist that disappears with the sunshine of the day. Let's pray together. Lord, our longing is so very deep within us to have a home, have a place where we belong, have the smiles and evaluation of people. And yet, Lord, we confess that all of that seems to be like a roller coaster. It winds way up at times and crashes way down at other times. Lord, I pray that You would give to our very minds and hearts and affections and feelings and emotions that settled rest in Jesus Christ and His approval, being those who belong to Jesus as citizens, that belong to Jesus as members of His family, that we are part, O Lord, of Your holy temple as living stones. Give us that oneness and unity with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ, for we pray in His name. Amen.